title, if you are a note taker, is The Glory of God, Part 3. The Glory of God, Part 3, September 2nd, 2012. Wow. We're going to finish strong. Amen. Well, we've been talking about this series about the glory of God, and we discussed for the last few weeks about seeking the glory of God. And as we seek the glory of God, that He would show up in our house, He'll show up in our church, He'll show up in our schools, and He'll begin to transform some things. He'll begin to take and mold some things and make them a little different than the way they used to be. Are you with me this morning? Shout glory. Fill this place. Say the glory of God. Fill this place. See, the last few weeks we talked about ingredients. And if you bake a cake, there's ingredients that you need to put in there. Amen. And one of the ingredients for the glory of God to show up is that His presence needs to be there. Amen. And we talked a little bit about the glory needs to dwell. The Holy Spirit needs to dwell above our situations and our circumstances in life. We need to call on God. We need to create the Spirit of God or the glory of God to come upon our situations. In other words, we want the things that are in the invisible realm to become visible. The next ingredient that God used was sound. You have a mouth to speak. You have a mouth to confess. You have a mouth to praise Him. And in your mouth, when you speak, it causes sound waves. And sound waves can affect and change your circumstances. Oh, Pastor, how about an opera singer that sings and they can get to such a point where there's such a strong sound wave that it shatters the glass? You ever see that on TV before? Well, God, when He talked to you about moving mountains by speaking to the mountains, your literal mountains can be shaken. The foundation of the earth will be shaken, and hell will have to fall out of the way by when you speak to your circumstances and situations. But you got to have the glory. You got to have the right mix. See, when Jesus did things and God did things, remember He said that let there be light. Then God spoke, but He spoke faith-filled words. He just didn't speak and said, well, I'm hoping, I'm believing, maybe it'll work. He spoke it and it happened. Then there was light. He spoke with faith-filled words. Faithful words are another ingredient. He spoke the words and He believed it. Another ingredient. You need to speak some things, you need to do it in faith, and you need to believe that you're going to see it. Amen? We can't use the gift without the giver being present. Let me say that again. You can't use your gift unless you have the giver being present. You want the presence of the Holy Spirit there so that God will flow. Amen? When we're in His glory, instant miracles, signs, and wonders take place. We got to learn how to sense the Holy Spirit in our life and know when He's present and when He's not. Elijah and Elisha both knew the secret of God's presence. When it was there, when it wasn't. You see many times pastors ramble on and ramble on and ramble on. God left the building an hour ago, and they preached for 4 hours, 6 hours, 10 hours. You ever been to any of those services? When you have so many programs, by the time the word comes up, you're already asleep. Glory of God already left the building. The pastor wouldn't even get nodded on his shoulder. No, hey, God's done. We all go now. Amen. When God's done speaking, we all can go. Amen. In the glory realm, there's no time. In God's realm of world time, you know, I've been on this earth 47 years plus right now. Amen. To God, that's just a few minutes of His time. God's not bound up by time. God's not confined by time. We're confined by time. God isn't. And when God shows up, and the greater the glory, the quicker the things begin to take place in our lives. The more of the glory cloud that you can be and make and create in your atmosphere, praising Him, worshiping, that brings the glory of God, the Holy Spirit, to hover over your situation. When that takes place, things happen a little quicker. The greater the glory, guess what? The greater the things of God in your life. Amen? To see the manifestations, you got to focus on the glory of God first. than your gifts. There are many gifted people, but God wants you to activate the glory zone. God wants you to have the glory of God hovering over you, and then you activate your gifts. And guess what? Everything flows a lot better. Manifestations take place a little easier. So this week we're going to take a look at some additional things about the glory of God. And we're going to talk about how we got to enter in with faith into the glory zone. And that anything and everything is possible with God. You got to believe in your heart that anything and everything is possible with God. God does not have any limits. God is not constrained by time. He's not constrained about with your issue or your problem, your circumstance. God is God. God is the creator. God is the healer. God is the provider. God is God. Amen. And we got to understand and get our minds wrapped around that anything and everything is possible with God. That's why you need to dream real big, because your dream needs to be so big the only way it can get done is if God helps you. Don't have a dream so small that you can do yourself. You got to get God involved, and God will make the dream big. Amen. So we're going to take a look at the Word this morning. If you'll stand for the reading of the Word, we're going to look at Genesis 1 this morning. Genesis 1 has kind of been our foundation scripture. Genesis 1, 1 through 3. The Bible says this in Genesis 1. This is a New King James Version. Genesis 1, 1. It says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit, or the glory of God, was hovering over the face of the waters." And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. God's Spirit was there first, ready to be activated. And then God said, "Let there be light." And then there was light. Lord, bless your word this morning. Let us get this deep in our spirit being this morning. Holy Spirit, lead us and guide us and direct us this morning. Holy Spirit, have your way. Say what you want to say. Do what you want to do. Let us open up our ear gates to hear what you're going to say by the Spirit. Let us discern what you're going to say. And let us grow richly in your word this morning. Expand our thinking. Transform our thoughts to be like your thoughts. Bless this time. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen and amen. You can be seated if you can. In the beginning, he created the heavens and the earth. Then there was this great Spirit hovering over. And then he spoke. And when he spoke, he believed, because he had faith. And when he had faith, he believed. And then what happened? There was light. Something we can learn. We can learn something. There's a process the way God does things. There's ingredients and formulas in the Word that we have to follow in order for it to work. The world even understands. Even those that are wealthy know how to sow into ministries and know how to sow into charities. Why? Because they know there's a process. They're releasing something. They might not totally understand it biblically, but what they sow into, they're going to reap from. See, God's rules are good for everybody, sinner and saint. Amen. Devil worshiper and Christian. Amen. Last week we ended up talking about the reaping the glory of God by sowing violently. Violent sowing. Take a look at Deuteronomy 1:11. Deuteronomy 1:11. Bible says this: "May the Lord, the God of your fathers, increase you 1,000-fold more than you are, and bless you just as he has promised you." 1,000-fold. I mean, we've heard the 30, and we heard about the 60, and we talk about the 100, and we say, "Lord, give us the 100-fold." But here he says 1,000-fold. 1,000-fold. That's better odds than you can get in any casino in town. Amen? 1,000-fold. And Lord, how do I tap into 1,000-fold increase? How do I, Lord, how do I sow in my talents so I can have 1,000-fold? fold more talent than I have today. Let me show you. Because when you're working in the things of the glory of God, when you're in the realm of the glory zone, when you feel the presence of God, that's when you go and you sow violently. How do you sow violently? Oh, Pastor, how do you do that? The widow gave Elijah her last meal. The widow only had one little bit of meal left for her and her son, and then I'm going to die. But Elijah shows up. See, God always has someone he's going to bring to you to help guide you, help direct you. But you have to be able to be willing to listen and then go do. What did she do? She gave Elijah all that she had. She sowed superficially. How about the boy with a couple fish and a few loaves of bread? He gave everything he had to someone that could help him named Jesus. There was a need. The boy had just a little bit. His mama packed him up a sack, amen, of some fish and a few loaves of bread. It was enough for him, but little did he know is when he gave superficially and gave all that he had, that God would show up. How about the poor widow who gave only two mites? All others were bragging, hey, I'm giving $100,000. I'm giving $5,000. I'm giving. And then she came with two mites. That's all she had. It wasn't the amount. It was the heart and what she was available to her to give. How about Solomon? Solomon was wealthy. But he gave 1,000 animals at the altar to sacrifice. 1,000. One would have been enough. Two would have been. But a thought, why? Because he wanted to honor God superficially. Here's the point. That generosity is determined by the percentage of what you have that you give, not the actual amount. Generosity is determined by the percentage of what you have to give, not the actual amount. This type of giving should only take place when you're in the glory of God. Because when you are in the glory of God, it's when you have the greatest return on that giving. When you give violently, when you give superficially, what happened? That woman had to go, the woman who gave last week had to go and borrow things to contain all that God was going to supply, all the oil. Think about that. The 5,000 people, men, 5,000 men, they figured there's about 15,000 people there, were fed with a couple fish and a few loaves of bread. See how it multiplied? Solomon, God said, I'll give you anything you want, whatever you desire. And because he gave of superficially 1,000 animals at the altar. It's the generosity. It's based on the percentage of what you give, not the actual amount. It's what's coming from you. Giving sometimes hurts. We just got back from a conference and we gave 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 and we gave. And people say, oh, Pastor, you know, did it hurt? Yeah. There's some things I had to forego. There's some things I've had to put off that I wanted. But I wanted God more. Could have used the new humidifier. But I'd rather taken that money and give it to God. Could have used maybe another pair of pants and another shirt, but just give that to God. Saving up a little vacation money, but God will supply for that. I'll give it to him now. It's all his anyways. We're just stewards of it. People say you're blessed. I don't know how you get so blessed. I says it comes with pain. Jesus had a lot of pain. But look what he gave. Look what he did superficially. He gave his life for you and for me. He gave it during the glory cloud. The Spirit of God hovered and he gave. He took the beating that we deserved. Let me share something about faith versus hope. I want to help clarify. Many times we ask God to bless us, our finances, our family, our children, our home. And we ask God, Lord, we need you to bless us, and we really hope that you'd move on our behalf. How many times have we said that? I know I have. Lord, I hope that you hear my prayer this morning. And Lord, I hope that you bless my finances. And Lord, I hope, you know, that you can work through this for me because you know what I'm dealing with. Faith is now. And hope is in the future tense. Faith is now. When you are in the presence of God, now is a good time to ask Him something. But asking Him and hoping are two different things. Asking Him and hoping are, oh, I'm hoping. But when you ask in faith, He's moved. We have a faith God. He is only moved by faith. Pastor, He's not moved by poverty because there's still poverty. He's not moved over death because He already defeated the grave. He is moved by faith and faith alone. You can hope. That's good. But hope is delaying it. I'm not hoping for a bigger church. I have faith for it right now. I have faith for 3,000 member church. I don't know if they're ready for me yet. Because I won't compromise. I won't water down. I won't sugarcoat. I won't have 17 different programs of how to get to Jesus. I got one. Read the Word. Get set free. Get in the glory of God. He'll fix some stuff. He'll rearrange your mess. He didn't say take a leap of hope. He said take a leap of faith. Because when you take a leap of faith in the glory of God, He always shows up. He always comes through. I'm not taking a leap of hope. I'm hoping this works good for me. La 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 la. No, I'm taking a leap of faith. When I got married, it was a leap of faith for my wife to marry me. For me, it was a leap of hope. I hope she just loves me. She had faith. She took the whole plunge all the way. She didn't hold back nothing. And neither does God. When we place our trust and our faith in God, when we sow violently in seed into the presence of glory of God, harvest and supernatural things take place in our lives. Miracles take place. Signs take place. Cancer goes bye-bye. Oncologists go, God, it's not there anymore. I don't know how that happened. Let me tell you how that happened. The glory of God is on my life. I'm a giver and a tither. I give it to God and He takes care of all my needs. Here's what happens when you give violently and when you're a person of faith. Take a look at Joshua 24:13. I started reading this and I got so excited. I had to jump up and run around my house 3 times. Because see, this is for you and this is for me. And I've been confessing this for a while, and then I didn't for a while. And I said, Lord, I'm going to get confessing Joshua 24:13. And this is out of the New Living Translation. It says, I gave you land that you had not worked on. And I gave you towns that you did not build. The towns where you now are living. I've given you vineyards and olive groves for food, though you did not plant them. I gave you these large casinos that are coming your way, that will be used to glorify me and not mankind. I'll build you a house that you don't even have to pay for. I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to give you things where you didn't even sow your seed to. You will experience reaping where you did not sow. Shout, I'm ready to reap where I've not sown. That's what that scripture says. I've given you land that you didn't work on. I'm going to give you a home that you didn't build. I'm going to move you in a town that's already been built and prepped for you just because you're mine. I'm going to give you things and bless you, and the world's not going to know why I'm going to do it, and they don't know why they're going to do it for you either, but they're going to. Is there a UCF or what is it, UFC fight? There? No. We're just holding the church conference. Praise God. 20,000 people there. Praise God. Changing that whole atmosphere around for the glory of God. Yeah, we built this big place, but it went out of business. I guess it must be for you. Pastor, that's crazy. No, that's Bible. I'm going to give you another scripture I want you to think about. Take a look at Matthew 25:14. Matthew 25:14. It says, for the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them, and to one he gave 5 talents, and to another 2, and to another 1. Each according to his own ability, and immediately went on a journey. Then he had received, the one who had received 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents, so he doubled what the master gave him. And likewise, he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the hole in the ground and hid his Lord's money. And after a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with him. So they had received, the one who had received 5 talents came and brought him 5 more talents, saying, Lord, you delivered me 5 talents. Look, I've gained 5 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You are faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. I trusted you with a little bit, and you did the right things according to my word, my plans, my purposes. You've done what I've asked you to do. You've doubled what I've given you, so I'm going to bless you with even more. He says, then enter into the joy of the Lord. And he also received 2 talents, came and said to the Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Then he had received the one that had 1 talent. Came to the Lord, says, I knew that you are a hard man, reaping where you have not sown. Let me say that again. Maybe you didn't get that part. Then the one who had 1 talent said to the Lord, I know you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown, and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid and went and hid the talent in the ground. And look, there you have, it's yours. But the Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant, you know that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. Therefore, take the talent from him and give it to the one with 10. Think about that. He gave him one more. He sowed in areas that he didn't sow in certain areas, but he still reaped. God is telling us in these end times that there will be this time, a season where we sow in this earth, where we sow in our lives, when we sow into ministries, when we sow into certain areas, there'll be other areas that you're going to reap. There's going to be areas in your life where God's going to show up and get you some stuff that you never even thought of. It's going to be areas in your life where you've never ever sown into. Amen? I think about the house that we're living into, that someone built it for themselves and now we're dwelling in it. It's a nice home. I wouldn't have paid $1 million for it, praise God. But we get to live in it now. Amen? It was created for someone else, but I'm getting to enjoy it. I didn't sow over there, but I'm reaping in it. Verse 28, therefore, take the one talent from him, and he gave it to the one that had 10 talents. For to everyone who has more, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from the one who does not have, even that he has will be taken away from him, and cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This morning, let's declare this. I will reap where I've never sown. I will reap where I've never sown. I will reap where I've never sown. Get that in your spirit this morning, that you will reap where you have never sown. I've never sown into the casinos because I know it's a losing bet. Amen? But I'm going to reap something from them. Maybe they're going to give me one of their buildings that they just can't understand why they want to give to me. Maybe they're going to give us some of their money. And in their hands it was, you know, greedy money, but in our hands it's godly money. Amen. See, many of us serve a God of just enough instead of a God of too much. See, we settle for a God just, Lord, just give me enough to cover my bills. No. God is a God of too much. And that's why people don't like you, because you have too much. You got too much to say. Even though you're going through something, you have too much to say about your God who loves you. You might not have all the finances yet, but you know it's coming your way. Your children are healthy. Your children are serving the Lord. That you can't put a price tag on. You have your health. Steve Wynn would give me gazillions of dollars if he could see again. All I got to do is bring him into the glory zone, lay hands on him, and he'd be able to see. If he has faith to pick it up. I believe God could touch him. He's been to every doctor and paid millions of dollars to try to get his eyesight, but he has a degenerative eye thing that he can't see. But God can open his eyes. See, God wants to open his eyes like he opened up Saul's eyes. Think about him coming to your church. Like I said, 3,000 members would just be a start. See, many of us serve a God of just enough instead of a God of too much. We've got to wrap our mind around us this morning. And when you're in the glory of God, he'll release those old mindsets. And I believe the glory of God is in here this morning to release and break our old mindsets. That God is just enough. No, God is more than enough. God is there to meet all my needs and then leave me some extra to be a blessing to somebody else. Amen? He just ain't counting out the nickels and said all you wanted was, you know, $180 to make your payment. No, God's going to leave you $250 to be a blessing. God wants you to be so blessed that you'll bless somebody else, because it ain't about you. We always like to bless people because we know it puts a smile on our face, but we know that we're pleasing Him. And it gives you an opportunity to bless them. They say, we don't have to do that. No, I know, but God wants to. God bless me, so I got to bless you. You want what I got, you got to go get God. Amen? When you have the blessing, pain is sometimes attached to it. Sometimes sacrifice comes a little bit. Sometimes you got to give up some things. And first thing you got to give up is yourself. And that's hard. But if you want to work in the glory of God, you got to understand, you got to come there and just be free to move. You just want Him to do what He wants to do. Let me help you about reaping in the world's wealth. Reaping in the world's wealth. Take a look at Proverbs 13, verse 22. I think that's one of the last scriptures. Pretty close. This is out of the Amplified Bible. Proverbs 13, 22. It says, a good man leaves an inheritance of moral stability and goodness to his children's children. And the wealth of the sinner, and the wealth of the sinner, and the wealth of the sinner finds its way eventually into the hands of the righteous for whom it was laid up. Sometimes you may feel like you're beat up, beat down, and the world's got you tied up. But the Word says the wealth of the sinner will find its way eventually into the hands of the righteous. Say, we're the righteous for whom it's been laid up for. It's been laid up for you, for me, because we're the righteousness of Christ Jesus. We're in right standing. He's my brother. And He's my Father. Holy Spirit dwelleth inside of me. I'm the righteousness. I believe that it has to come my way. You don't have to, but I'm believing it is, because that's what the Word says. The way this works is that you got to sow into the earth that God created and the system that God put in place. It sounds crazy. We got to invest in the world. Yeah, well, understand that we live in the world. We're not of this world, but we live in this world. And the world has systems that God had already put in place. One of the things God showed me is that if we want to create some wealth in our lives and profit from the way that the world's profiting from God, one of the easy ways is owning your own home. It's the first start. You own your own home, and then when you pay it off, you can hand that from your generation to generation to generation. That's just a simple way of doing it, right? We always know the thing is to buy low and sell high. Amen. I always like to try to do that. I haven't been too successful in that in all of my endeavors. But then again, I didn't ask God to get involved in it either. Because people can manipulate the stock but manipulate things. But God, if you're hearing from God, you'll know when to buy something and then when to sell it high. You're reaping from the world's way of doing it. Buy a second home, think about this, and rent it out. What you're doing is you're being a blessing for somebody else. You're getting the tax benefit, and you're getting the write-off. And you got some cash flow to do something for the kingdom of God. That's working the system in the world's way. We got to save some of our paycheck each week or every month that you get paid. You should be putting 10% away of every check you get. Amen? So that you have something as a nest egg in the future when God calls upon it. See, it's not for you. It's for Him. He's been calling upon it. When He needs it, you have it. The other thing is we need to sow whatever our gain is back into solid ministries. We need to do some replanting, some reseeding. You ever see right now, I was talking to the guy at the golf course that I do business with. He said, these next few weeks, they're reseeding the lawn. They're reseeding the golf course. They're double seeding so that it'll be extra green and extra deep and the grass will be tighter. That's what we need to do for God. We need to sow into ministries that are growing. I'll close with Deuteronomy 28:12. Deuteronomy 28:12. The Lord will open to you His good treasure, the heavens, to give the rain to your land in its season, and to bless all the work of your hand. You shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. God wants you financially taken care of. And I say this, and I say this probably prophetically, is that America has leveraged itself out. We're now the borrower instead of the lender. When you get put in that position, you're in a position of a second position. That means somebody else can control your destiny. The bank can control your destiny when they own the mortgage on your home, but when you own it free and clear, it's yours. Amen? He wants us to be a lender to many nations, but we should not have to borrow. Many of us aren't there. I'm not there yet either. I still got my cars on credit, but I'm believing there will be a time that things will revert from the world to us that are the righteousness of Christ Jesus, that the financial blessings will come our way, and that we'll be able to take those funds and bless the ministries. We'll be able to bless the kingdom of God. We'll be able to help people that are in need, that are in crisis. All they're missing is Christ. Amen. The greater the glory, the quicker things will happen in your life. There's no limit in the glory of God. We have to understand that anything and everything is possible in God. We have to understand that. We could reap the glory by violent sowing. We know that faith is now. Hope is in the future tense. If you hope for something, it's still out there in the future. But don't you want to call it present right now? If you need something, you need it now. Use your faith. You will experience reaping where you did not sow. I like that. I like to reap some things that I have not sown. Because we've sowed so much time, so much effort, so much finances, so much of our gifts, so much of our talent. And as we do those things collectively, we're going to reap some things that we didn't even expect. Someone's going to want to just come up and bless you. I don't know why I'm giving you this car, these keys to this car, but God said to go do that. I thank you, I received that. Why? Because I knew somebody who needed a car in the congregation, and here's your car today. Blessed to be a blessing, a tool to flow through. You're the instrument. You're just a vessel to pour through. Trying to help you. Just trying to help. Remember the stories of the talents. Don't sit on something that God's instructed you to do. If God's told you to go do it, go do it. His grace, His mercy, His righteousness will be on what He's told you to do. You know you've heard. You know He's told you. He's given you sign. He's brought confirmation. And you say, I'm still just waiting on God. But your talent will be given to somebody else if it's going to be wasted. God is the God of way too much. Pastor, why is He like that? Because He loves you. Isn't that wasteful? No. Two fish, few loaves, 5,000 plus fed. They picked up a whole bunch of baskets when it was over, right? So He could send it to the people that might need a little bit of extra food on the way home. Think about that. Turns the water into wine. The best was saved for last. What's going on here? More than enough. God wants to bless you because He wants you to be a blessing to someone else. Because when you bless somebody else, it draws people to Christ, and then they can experience the glory of God that you're already living. Sow and reap in the world's way, and then you get its wealth. The glory of God will lead you where to give and how to sow and where to put those dollars in certain stock markets. And certain, I remember God would give me certain things and I'd say, Lord, I don't invest. I don't keep, Lord, to invest in this stock. And Lord, I don't, I'll put a few, and all of a sudden it would triple or quadruple and then I'd pull that right out because I don't want to get greedy. Amen. I got my initial investment back. I could take a few of those dollars and then I have some more to sow. See, I knew what to do with it. If you know that you're going to get some gain, first thing you're going to say, oh, I'm going to go buy that thing here. I'm going to go. And that's good. But don't expect you to get a harvest. See, if you take some of that and give back to God, then maybe some of it you pay down your debt or you put some of it in the bank account and see, you spread it. Because God will call upon you to use that finances at a later date. I've had to sell cars and motorcycles. Things I liked. Things I desired. It was my heart's desire and I got it. And I said, thank you, God. I finally got that new motorcycle to have to sell it in a year and a half for the ministry. My wife got that convertible car that she always wanted. What? To then have to sow it back into the ministry. Was it painful? Yeah. Something I liked. But I learned that those things don't mean nothing. God gave me a better car. He's setting me up for another promotion in the heavenlies. Today we got to begin to take some time and get into the glory of God and allow Him to hover in our lives and in our church and to grow us. Because there's change coming. There's change coming. There's an election coming. There's someone's going to take office. It don't matter who gets in. Don't care. Don't care. Really don't. It's either they're going to be the black guy or the white guy. That's what you got. Don't matter which one. They both bleed the same blood. They both still have the same father. They may not know it, but they still have the same father. Different mothers. They still have the same blood of Christ in them as we have. Don't care which one gets in there. Don't care. Because I'm not of this world. I got the glory of God in my life. He's going to guide my path. He's going to steer. He's going to tell me when to pull out and when to put in and where to go and what to do and how to do things. We've got to be listening to Him. The hour is upon us. We've got to be listening to what God's saying. We got to be dialed in to the Jesus zone and saying, Lord, that's you, right? Yeah, yeah. What do you want me to do? How do you want me to act? Do I put my finances here? Or do I put my children here? Or do I invest in this home? Or do I not? Or what do I need to do? We're on a big bubble in the United States. And when you're on a big bubble and there's a big old pin hanging up, eventually the bubble going to fall on that pin and go pop. But the children of God that are hearing His voice, those that are in His glory, those that are doing what He said to do, are preparing themselves for this transfer to come our way. But you got to be positioned, ready to receive what's about to fall out. That's why it's important that we get in unity and agreement, that you get these tapes and CDs so you, that you listen to them and get them ingrained in your spirit. Because when we are in agreement, other churches will fall. Men of God will fall. Churches that were having tens of thousands will diminish because they didn't hear what God's been saying. We want to be those that are hearing from God. We want to be those that are flowing in the glory of God. We're not in a hurry. We don't have a time limit of how long our service has to be. 32 minutes, we're going to do this. In 8 minutes, we have the music. In 7 minutes, we're going to do that. I mean, I've been to churches like that. And we're out in 1 hour and 7 minutes because we don't want to interrupt anybody's schedule. Well, maybe God wants to say something. Maybe God wants to speak something. And He wants to spend an hour and 15 minutes telling you something. I just want to be available for what He's going to say. I just want to be available for what he's going to do. I think I'm with the right people that want to hear the word of God. See, right now, people don't want what we've got. But what they're going to get from the world in a relative soon season, they're going to be flocking for churches like ours. Because the only way to the answer is being plugged into the source. They're going to look to man for the answer right now. And they're going to go to CNN, the Crisis News Network, and they're going to go to Fox, and they're going to go to this. And everybody's going to be telling them something. But God's been yelling, "Hey, I got the answer over here." And they'll come running. Because we're the ones that aren't going to be crisis mode. We're not going to be panicking when the world's collapsing, when the bubble burst, and everybody loses their homes and their finances. All of this is going to get reverted to us that have been waiting patiently on the Lord. Lord, come on. I'm in receive mode. I can't receive it like this because it'll be too heavy. I want to receive it like this. That way I can just keep on pulling it in. And thank you, Jesus. Oh, you got another car for somebody in the ministry? Okay, Lord, we'll give them. They need that Mercedes. I don't like those Mercedes too much, but somebody else might like that. What do you mean, Lord? Everybody in the congregation doesn't have their home paid? Well, we got all this money. I think we just pay off all our homes. You think, oh, Pastor, that's crazy. Book of Acts, they gave up their land, their homes, everything was paid for. Jesus is coming. What a testimony it would be. Yeah, there's this little church, Spirit Life Christian Church. Yeah. See, they missed the part, spirit life. Not worldly life, not do what you want life, spirit led, spirit fed. If you're not spirit led and spirit fed, you be dead. And that's what you're going to get when you go somewhere else. Those churches will die because there's no word being taught and the spirit isn't flowing. It ain't about 19 programs, about one, Jesus. Ain't 12 steps, one step. Don't have to go to Eaters Anonymous. I just got to go to the Word of God. I'll just eat that a little bit. I'll fill myself up with the living waters and I'll be full. I'm just trying to help. I'm just flowing. You could say, Pastor, you're full. I'm full. Full of His Word. We're going to love people. But we're going to tell them how it works. People don't have all the ingredients to bake the cake. But when Jesus comes, we're going to have such a nice cake and a celebration and a big old candle for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I'm excited. We got change coming. We got transformation coming. Wait till next week. I just can't wait. I'm telling you. Church on the move. We're going to go and touch people where they're at. They don't want to come to us. We'll come to them. We'll shake their foundation. We're going to make them be a little quivering. Who just walked in the room? It was just God. You feel His presence? They come in and they're starting to cry before they walk in. You know that God's been here. That's what we hear the most. Now I feel the presence of God here. And then we're doing something right. This morning as we were doing worship this morning, man, the presence of God was so strong and so thick. Now I was weeping in my chair. I had to just let him sing it again because I just wanted to get it deeper into my system. We got to have the glory. When you have the glory, you've got the power. When you got the power, people are going to want to come to you. Because what you got, they need. I'm believing there'll be psychics that will come in here. And they're going to understand that the power that I have is stronger than the power that they have. Because the power I'm connected to is the God. The only one. The living one. The holy one. God's given me some good word. And I've been asking him how to break it off in small pieces. He said, sometimes some people have to choke. But it's okay. It's okay. I'll go down. about to give you some coffee and donuts to shove that all down. We're going to keep it down. We're going to do that. But you're ready for it. You're ready for it. See, the world's missing out on what we've got to say. We've got an election coming up. Things are not going to be the same. I want it the way it used to be. No, you don't. I want something different. Oh, we got it. Doesn't matter who comes in, it's going to be different. Do you realize none of this that's happening is taking God by surprise? Did you realize it didn't take God surprise when Adam and Eve sinned? He had a plan already in place. He wouldn't go, oh, they sinned. Oh, what am I going to do? My creation. No, no. He already had a plan in place. It's in the Word. If we follow His plan and work the ingredients the way it's supposed to be, we'll never be taken by surprise. Those things where we've never sown, hallelujah, we're going to have. All the wealth of the wicked is going to be reverted back to the righteous. Shout, I'm the righteous. Shout, I'm the righteous. So it's coming my way. It's all coming my way. I'm blessed coming in. I'm even more blessed when I go out. I'm highly favored. I'm a king's kid. I'm a son of the Most High. I'm blessed. I'm blessed coming in, and I'm blessed going out. See, we got to just speak those things in our life. The glory is following me everywhere I'm going. I don't make excuses for it. People don't like me. That's okay. Because once you get to like me, once you get to know me, you'll love me. Just like my wife. She loves me. What isn't there to love? God's always working out the rough edges in me. Pastors are going to have some interesting things on their hands. Because they haven't been teaching the Word. There ain't going to be no blood on my hands. I'm going to give everything I got that He gave me to you. Not holding it back, not sugarcoating, not candy coating, not saying, oh, maybe not be able to take it today, Jesus. Lord, I won't just put the thermometer in there so low. Just give it to them. Don't give them just the one dose of that Pepto-Bismol. Give them the whole dose. They'll be okay. Because God wants you to drink of His Word. And when you drink of His Word, you drink of His promises. Are we getting it? See, I don't get disappointed when I see 8, 10, 12, 15 people. I don't go, are you disappointed? Well, I just think there's 1,000 people need to hear it. So if they can't be here, we'll make it available on camera, on audio, on the internet. We'll tweet. Tweet, tweet, tweet. We'll Facebook them. You know what we need to do. And just let me say something about Facebook. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Whatever you put on Facebook is a record for eternity. Watch what you say. Watch what you do. I know we want to tune people up sometimes, but I would say if you're going to put something up, put something that's edifying. Say something. Put something that God would be proud that you put down on there, because your name's associated with His. And heck, I might have to run for president next election, and I don't want anything, any skeleton. On Facebook, you said something negative about this person. They need somebody with integrity and morals. Obviously, no experience seems to be working pretty good, so I can handle that. I got a beautiful wife that would look good in the Oval Office. Could you imagine the church services we would have? Man! Get my Polish cook in there. Jeez, it'll be good. World's seeking for what we got. Maybe my kids will be a president. Maybe Matthew will be president. Who knows? Maybe they'll be running mates. or you know, together, you know, Matt, get the Matt, you know, we'll take you to the Matt, you know, M&M, you know, however you want, it all tastes good, just go and have a few. I mean, just think about that. That's our future generation, man. They're not lost. They're not screwed up, like the world says. I mean, we babied them a little bit. We need a little fatherly love, you know. You know, help them out a little bit. You'll be okay. You know, I told you to listen. But they need some love. They need some father. Why? Because no fathers have been in their life. No men speaking in their lives. Families are destroyed. But we got the answer. One mother raising three kids and no daddy around. Or daddy raising three kids. I got a friend, he's raising three kids and mama's a drug addict. It goes both ways. Those kids need a mother and some kids need a father. Because it wasn't right. God created man and woman. Adam and Eve. Tell me gay is it? Well, God, it was in God told me to be gay. God didn't make a mistake. God didn't mess up the chromosomes. Quit blaming God. You're saying the Almighty Creator messed up. I don't think so. Probably get a lot of hate mail on this. I still love you. The sin's got to go. That's why Jesus came. To take away your sin. Maybe mine wasn't because I was gay, but maybe I was a thief and a liar and a cheat. Sin is sin. Murder. Murder with my eyes. Lord, I thank you. I thank you that we have a great family. I thank you, Lord, that we're connected. I thank you for your love and your peace, your joy. I ask you to bless your people this morning. Let them grow. Let them grow in your word. Let this week be their best week ever. Whatever they are seeking after, they shall find in you. For you, Lord God, are the way and the answer. Touch them. Bless them. Increase them. Let them rest in your bosom today, God. Guide them and direct them. Have your way in their lives. I call them blessed. I call them highly favored. I call them increasing. I call them, Lord God, the head and not the tail, above and not beneath. They are a blessed, superior people. In Jesus' name I pray. And everybody said, Amen.